Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
LaVine with a runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And of course, that text to voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. And that number is 331-979-1369. Again, 331-979-1369. Lots of mailbag texts to get to today. That's what's on the docket. Wanted to let you know that today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. What's going on, everybody? Matt here, holding down the fort. Been a crazy week for me and Jordan scheduling-wise, so apologies that our episodes this week have come out a little scattershot. But hopefully we'll be able to get you one or two more episodes to get you ready for the weekend. Big news for the Bulls and their fan base, of course, is that their first preseason game, their first NBA action since March 10th, which feels like a lifetime ago, on deck as they play their first preseason game Friday night. So, Jordan and I, of course, will break down for you on Monday's episode everything we see from the Bulls and their new head coach, Billy Donovan, on Friday. Hopefully, we'll also get a good extended look at the rookie number four overall pick, Patrick Williams. One quick note of congratulations to former Bulls Shaq Harrison, who finally found his way onto a squad. He signed a one-year deal with the Utah Jazz. Happy for Shaq, certainly a guy who did everything that was asked of him and more for a very depleted Bulls roster over the past couple of seasons. So, congrats to Shaq. With that, let us dive right in to some mailbag. Here's an email from Matt in Leeds, England. Hey guys, I was wondering what your thoughts are on the Bulls maybe signing JJ Barea. I think he would be a great veteran point guard coming off the bench and would likely only cost the veteran minimum. Thanks for checking in, Matt. Obviously, the NBA loves JJ Barea. I love JJ Barea. I've loved Barea since that magical Mavs 2011 run all the way to the title, defeating the Heatles, and also dispatching Kobe and the Lakers in their sweep on their way through the Western Conference playoff bracket. That was pretty entertaining. Pretty entertaining stuff, of course. Barea mostly famous for somehow shutting down LeBron James in those 2011 NBA Finals. First and foremost, it was just really cool to see Mark Cuban and the Mavs show JJ Barea all the respect and due credit he deserved for his long-standing relationship with that organization, in the sense that they signed him to a guaranteed one-year $2.6 million deal, knowing that they would then waive him and allow him to pursue the next path in his career, because from what we've heard, he's not quite ready to hang him up. So good on Cuban for doing the right thing and giving Barea that last thank you in the form of a nice paycheck on his way out of Dallas. Do I like the idea of Barea coming to the Bulls? Yes. I think he is still a very valuable veteran guard in this league, as Matt suggests in his email. However, I don't think it's very realistic given where the Bulls are with their current roster construction. They basically have all of their guaranteed contracts on the books, a 15-person roster. And, you know, we believe that they might make some use this season with some of those two-way players, especially considering, you know, what challenges COVID will present to these teams that'll be traveling around this season instead of being in a bubble. So you might see some Adam Makoka. You might see some of the undrafted free agent signing of Devin Dotson, which is a great story. You know, hometown kid, lifelong Bulls fan who finds his way back to Chicago. Recommend that you check out the piece written about him by Rob Schaefer on NBCSportsChicago.com, by the way. So, I mean, yeah, I would love J.J. Barea. He's been one of my favorite role players in the NBA for the last, you know, 10 plus years. I just don't see it as a very likely scenario. And I do think that AK and Donovan and their whole crew brought Garrett Temple here for a reason. And while he's not a traditional quote-unquote point guard, I think he has the size and the versatility that this new regime, this new front office is looking for, as opposed to a super undersized guy like Barea. So those are my thoughts on that. Thanks for checking in, Matt. All right, next up we have a text from the 217. Hot take for the season. Denzel will emerge as a legitimate playmaker and will be top five for most improved. Fred, is that you? Our texter continues. He might be the best passer we have. He has exceptional IQ and he spaces the floor. He's an AK type of guy, and when he gets more minutes, he'll thrive on Kobe and Zach's aggression as a lockout option. His ability to find the open big will also be highlighted. Okay, so plenty to unpack here. Top five for most improved player? Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Pretty sure our pal Fred saw that. He predicted that this past season, Denzel was going to win Sixth Man of the Year. And I think I did see the other day, Fred is now predicting Denzel will win Most Improved Player of the Year this season. We'll see. Obviously, the big news here relating to this text is that we got word a few days ago that Denzel Valentine has yet to practice at the Bulls training camp that has, you know, been going on for a little over a week now. And it's a hamstring that he's dealing with. And this was particularly interesting when Donovan was asked about Denzel's absence, because he had said the team was fully healthy other than Garrett Temple, their new free agent acquisition, testing positive for COVID and going through his quarantine phase. And this is from a tweet from Casey Johnson. Donovan just said he hadn't thought of Valentine when asked about health earlier this week because Valentine hasn't done anything since coming back to the facility in advance of camp. So we know as of right now that Denzel said he hoped to be on the practice floor by Saturday, so a few days from now, and that he has said that they've already ruled him out for the Bulls' first two preseason games, which are, I believe, Friday and then Sunday. So, of course, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only Bulls fan who saw that news and immediately thought back to two seasons ago, which started with Denzel Valentine in training camp being listed day to day with an injury, and then day to day it turned into week to week. And then that turned into having surgery, and that ended up being season-ending surgery. So what started as day-to-day in training camp ended with Denzel Valentine playing zero of 82 games. I really hope that's not what we're staring at again right now. We were all excited that, including Otto Porter Jr., including Wendell and Lowry, everybody who was battling injuries last season came into training camp healthy. Well, surprise, surprise. Somebody isn't healthy, and it's not a big surprise that it's Denzel Valentine. Look, it's not like I'm rooting against Denzel. I've certainly made some jokes at his expense about his lack of availability since coming to the Bulls. But we all know his long injury history. It is his medical chart is like, you know, a roll of toilet paper going all the way back to his days at Michigan State, where he had lots of surgeries for various injuries. Knees, ankles, feet. He's got problems everywhere. And the best ability is availability. If Denzel is healthy, I agree with our texter that he could be a very useful piece with this new system. And there is a reason that the Bulls extended him a qualifying offer and not Chris Dunn and not Shaq Harrison. And those reasons our texter highlighted. Being a guy who can space the floor and knock down shots. He's an underrated passer. He's got great court vision, a high basketball IQ. We know these things. Yes, he's a problem on the defensive end, but offense wins games in the NBA. So, top five for most improved, he's got to be on the floor in order to do that. So let's hope, everybody cross your fingers, that Denzel, this hamstring is just a minor setback, and that he will be available to be in Donovan's rotation at the start of the season. Because those hamstring injuries can linger. We've seen that time and again with NBA players. And it's not like Denzel is the most athletic guy to start out with. So it's certainly a concern, and it's not good news. But all we could do is hope for the best. Before we get to more mailbag content, wanted to remind all of our listeners about our great sponsors at Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than ever before. 18 amazing flavors in this protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. 6 new flavors, including Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and Apple Almond Crisp. Plus some of those OG flavors like Banana Bread, Mint Brownie, Salted Caramel, Double Chocolate, Toffee Almond, and Peanut Butter Brownie. The Built Bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. And best of all, Built Bar is great for the healthy, conscious sports fan out there. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Plenty of the stuff you want and not too much of the stuff you don't want. They're also great for the keto diet. Take the peanut butter bar, for example. 19 whole grams of protein, but only 180 calories. Only 5 grams of sugar and just 5 grams of net carbs. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, we'll get 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Next up is a text from the 815 who says, "Hey guys, how much do you think the Bulls will focus on trying to showcase a player like Thad Young at the beginning of the year to try to raise his value prior to the deadline, as opposed to giving some of those minutes to the rookie Patrick Williams? Also, how much of this roster do you think will be around by the end of next season? I personally expect the roster outside of Patrick Williams and Zach LaVine to be gone by the time Wendell's rookie deal expires." Thanks for checking in and thanks for the questions. You know, Jordan and I were kind of talking about that same topic that you asked about with Thad Young, but with Otto Porter Jr. on our recent episode of, you know, are they going to start Otto? Are they going to bring him off the bench? Are they going to try and limit his minutes to make sure he stays healthy in case they try to use him and his expiring contract as a trade piece leading up to the deadline? I think outside of that, Thad Young is certainly the most likely trade candidate for the Bulls midseason. I think, you know, the reason that AK and the guys brought back pretty much the same roster is because they want to evaluate all of these young pieces that they have accrued before trading any of them away. But Thad Young is what he is. He's a veteran. He came in to try to play a role, be a veteran leader in the locker room and on the court. And he has only a partial guarantee in year 3 of his deal. And I don't see him being a piece for this team long term. He is a usable piece and a valuable veteran forward for playoff contending teams this season. As far as how that might relate to Patrick Williams and the minutes he's getting, I think that it's not too big of a concern for me right now. I think that AK and Donovan are on the same page, knowing that Patrick Williams is overflowing with potential and they are going to get him his minutes this season. I think Thad Young, everyone in the NBA knows what he is and what he can do. He's been doing it for a dozen years. So in that sense, I don't think that they're going to worry about making Thad a player they need to quote-unquote showcase, as our texter said, to make him more tradable. Whether Thad is playing 18 minutes a game or 25 minutes a game, He is what he is, and everyone in the league knows that. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. As far, you know, if I had to guess who's going to get more minutes per game out of the gate this season, Thad Young or Patrick Williams, I would say it's going to be pretty similar. They might be pretty close in minutes per game, but I wouldn't be surprised, and I certainly wouldn't be upset if Patrick Williams is getting more minutes than Thad Young, because you don't need to showcase a guy who's been in the league that long to make him tradable. As for our texter's second question about how much of this roster will be around at the end of next season, thinking that outside of Pat, Will, and Zach, everybody will be gone by the time Wendell's rookie deal expires. I partially agree with you in that I think no matter what, Patrick Williams is going to be here long term. He is the one piece that the new front office has picked out of the draft, other than, you know, the draft and stash guy that played on Jokic's Euro team that we won't see for at least a year. Clearly, he is not getting traded. But I would counter to say that it is entirely possible they trade Zach LaVine. We talk about it all the time. He is the most valuable asset on this team right now. Two more years of a very team-friendly deal, and is a knowable asset, a run-and-gun scorer who could be a very valuable second or third piece on a team that's trying to make a deep playoff push. So after evaluating this roster for the first half of this season, do we see Zach traded before the deadline? I don't think it's likely. I think it's possible. A year from now, is Zach still here? I'm certainly not convinced that is a guarantee. So, you know, by and large, to answer your question, yes, I do expect a fair amount of turnover on this roster. As Jordan and I have said before, I think it's certainly possible that one of Lauri Markkanen or Wendell Carter Jr. get moved to make room for Patrick Williams in the front court under the new regime and the new coach. Which one that will be, I think this upcoming season will largely determine that. But yes, there's clearly a shortage of talent on this roster. Yes, they're more talented than what they performed last season, but we all know why. So they're going to evaluate to see which pieces fit, and they're going to go from there. And I do expect huge turnover. But I wouldn't say that Zach and Patrick Williams being the two pieces still here a year from now is the most likely scenario. I think the only piece that we could be confident won't get traded anytime soon is Patrick Williams. Thanks for checking in. Okay, moving along. We've got some James Harden talk, because of course we do. A couple of text messages here. First one from the 630, who said, "Hey guys, what's up? Just started listening a few weeks ago. First time texting in. Welcome to the party, pal." Our texter says, "I hear a lot of talk about Harden to the Bulls. Do they have the necessary pieces? Should they make a move for him? Am I the only one who doesn't want to see Harden in Chicago? We talk about wanting to see all the current guys take that step forward. Can they do that with a teammate as ball dominant as Harden? Wouldn't it stunt the growth of a few of our young guys? Is it worth giving up all the picks the Rockets are going to want in return? Doesn't even seem worth it. Would like to hear your thoughts." And then on the heels of that, the 708 says, "The Rockets could probably get more. However, the Bulls have to at least shoot their shot. The Bulls get Harden. The Rockets get LaVine, Markkanen, Thad Young, 2021 first-round pick, 2022 first-round pick. We get a guy that can get us into the playoffs now and still add a max contract next summer when he recruits. Harden's contract would expire perfectly when we would need to start extending the young kids we have on rookie contracts." Okay, so thank you both for texting in. We've got some fans with opposing viewpoints here, one pro-Harden and one anti-Harden. As far as the trade package of our second texter, LaVine, Markkanen, and Thad, and two future firsts, that might get it done, although I'm thinking maybe the Rockets want more picks than players. So instead of Zach and Lowry, they would take one of those guys, and then request a third first-round pick, maybe even a fourth first-round pick. Let's remember that Jrue Holiday package that netted all of those picks for the Pelicans. James Harden is a perennial MVP candidate. The Rockets are not going to trade him for trash just because he's being difficult right now. I've listened to a lot of national NBA podcasts recently with people in the know, and basically what's being said is, yes, this is a very stressful situation the Rockets are in. And James Harden, he did report after being MIA for the start of Rockets camp, but he's basically been doing next question, no comment kind of stuff to his immediate availability on Zoom calls with Houston media so far. And we know that he's given a list of preferred teams that he wants to be traded to. Guess what? The Bulls aren't on it. But Brooklyn, Miami, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. Four Eastern Conference teams that will likely be vying for the representation of the Eastern Conference team making the finals this coming season. And star power to play with. Play with Jimmy in Miami. Play with Giannis in Milwaukee. Play with Simmons and or Embiid in Philly. I mean, these destinations obviously make sense for Harden. I don't know if the Rockets are just going to trade him to one of these teams because he wants to. But of course, you know, player empowerment is bigger and better than ever for these players, especially those on Harden's level in today's NBA. As far as, you know, Harden's contract expiring perfectly when we need to start extending the young kids, well, not necessarily. Some of those extensions are around the corner, depending on who you're planning on keeping to play with Harden. So I don't know about that lining up, quote unquote, perfectly. And to go back to the first texter who doesn't love the idea of Harden because he is such a ball dominant player and that's stunting the growth of our young guys, that is certainly logical. Although, again, at least one or multiple of those young pieces that we're trying to develop would be on their way out of town to get Harden. So, like, you know, whose growth are and development are you worried about stunting? It depends on who the Rockets would want in that trade. I think I'm more leaning towards our texter who doesn't love the idea of going after Harden. I think I was in a, you know, fuck it, why not mood maybe a couple weeks ago when the Harden stuff first came around, because he is an automatic ticket to the playoffs. Automatic. He's that good and will win you that many games single-handedly. But the bigger question of who is playing around him is a concern. And I'm not sure that this new Bulls regime would want to sacrifice a bunch of their future draft capital right out of the gate to get a couple seasons of prime Harden, paying him truckloads of money, if the surrounding pieces along with Harden won't be good enough to actually build something. I think that AK and Eversley and Donovan want to build something. And a couple of seasons of Harden, who certainly has proven to be difficult to work with, is doesn't seem to be in line with their philosophy and their thinking right now. The other thing to think about when our texter was talking about, you know, using Harden as the star to lure other free agents to come play with, I don't think Harden is that guy. Harden has had issues with pretty much all the stars he's played with. And, you know, he said, oh, I'll love to go to Brooklyn and play with Kyrie and KD. KD basically shot down the fact that they had even discussed that. Harden and CP3, they've had their issues. They broke up. Harden reuniting with Westbrook, they had their issues. They broke up. Now, you know, it's not clear to say that all of those breakups were Harden's fault and there wasn't fault on you know, multiple sides to those relationships. But he doesn't seem to be the star that other stars want to play with because, as our texter pointed out, so insanely ball dominant. And they tried. The Rockets did everything they possibly could to build their entire system and entire organization around James Harden. He was the sun of that solar system. And they didn't get it done. Harden, ball dominant. Have yourself your 30-plus usage percentage every night and spray out to other shooters when you can. Didn't work. It worked some nights. It worked against mediocre competition and bad competition, but it's not enough to get it done in a best-of-seven series against the best teams in the NBA. I'm not sure I want to see the Bulls do that for two seasons. I want them to build something. But, you know, like, I certainly see the merits to both sides of the argument, because I'm sure some Bulls fans are saying, if I have to watch another season where the Bulls aren't in the playoffs, I'm going to blow my brains out. And I don't blame you for that. I am dying for this team to get back to the playoffs, and Harden would guarantee you that. It's just, what beyond that could they accomplish? Thanks for texting, both of you. It's nice to see a perfect example of Bulls fans feeling differently about a situation like that. All right, and we'll round out things today with what else? The ESPN Top 100 rankings that just dropped the other day and had Bulls fans incensed. Here's a text from the 219. Hey guys, this is Matt from Boston. Wow, we got so many Matts in the mailbag today. I love it. Just saw this on my Instagram, and he shared a screenshot of the ESPN rankings. We really ranking Lonzo Ball over Zach LaVine? Really, ESPN? Can you guys justify this in any way? I get the rankings of players is bound to have things like this happen, but Lonzo? Not in my book. Love the show. Stay safe and go Bulls. Thanks for checking in, Matt. So yeah, this was, you know, the screenshot of some of the top 100, which they released the 100 through 50 segment of the other day. And you got Lonzo Ball at 54, Zach LaVine 56, and then behind them, the rookie phenom from Miami, Tyler Hero, checks in at 59, Blake Griffin 65, D'Angelo Russell 69, among others. So yes, lots of Bulls fans upset that Zach was disrespected by these rankings, not only Lonzo Ball, but some of the other names I saw ranked ahead of him, including, you know, Christian Wood. Really? And I know people are excited about Michael Porter Jr., and I know some Bulls fans are having not buyer's remorse that we passed on MPJ in the draft a couple of years ago. I still am completely okay with the fact that they passed on him, given the medicals that the Bulls saw. And they saw it as a red flag, and they weren't the only team to pass on MPJ. 13 other teams had an opportunity to take MPJ and didn't before Denver finally took a swing on him and said, okay, risk versus reward. Here's the potential reward. Michael Porter Jr. missed most of his rookie year. Michael Porter Jr. had a handful of quality games in Denver in the bubble, and people are anointing him as a breakout star after a few games. I think it's ludicrous. I'm not rooting against him to say that, oh, I was right about not wanting the Bulls to draft him. But to me, the medical is still a huge concern for the present and future. Who knows if that problem, and especially it being a back injury, is gone or if it will come back. Because those back injuries can ruin once promising NBA careers. So, are there issues with these ESPN rankings? Do we feel that Zach LaVine was disrespected? Yeah, we do. I mean, Lonzo in particular, look, obviously a better playmaker than Zach LaVine. Not as gifted and talented as a scorer, a more well-rounded player, you might say, although I could argue against that. And he plays on a more noteworthy team, and he's a noteworthy name. A recent number two overall pick, as you know, compared to Zach, who's been in the league 6 going on 7 years, plays on a team with Zion Williamson, got a lot of national coverage this past season. So, you know, there's some recency bias to that, I believe. Same thing with Michael Porter Jr. getting ranked that high. The bubble, oh my God, Michael Porter Jr., so amazing. Let's rank him that high. So, yeah. Of course, these are some flawed rankings by ESPN, but let's remember that I think that in large part, ESPN does these rankings so that people will talk about them. It's all about numbers. It's all about metrics. It's all about how many engagements, how many clicks, how many retweets, how many replies did we get all across our various social media platforms with this one post. And guess what? If you have some controversial takes, you're going to get more replies because people will say, I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? Because guess what? It worked for me. I quote tweeted that ESPN tweet with this graphic and those rankings and Zach LaVine ranked behind some of those players saying, are you kidding me? The utter disrespect for Zach LaVine. It works. It's a social media ploy from a company that is trying to reinvent how to generate revenue in the ever-increasing digital sports media world. It's part of the system. So Do I think that Lonzo Ball is a better player than Zach LaVine? No, I don't. Was I surprised to see ESPN rank these players the way that I did? Absolutely not. But, you know, as my buddy Big Dave said, and, you know, several people talked about it that way in the replies to my tweet about it, hopefully this is just more, you know, chalkboard material. More things for Zach LaVine to point to and say, y'all disrespected me. Use it as a chip on the shoulder. Use it as motivation to prove all these doubters wrong. And I think that Zach is already gearing up for a big season in that regard, because he is ready to prove to people that he can help his team win. And I don't think the fact that the Bulls didn't win many games last season was anywhere close to Zach LaVine's fault. If it weren't for Zach LaVine, the Bulls would have been 0-65 last season. And that's damn truth. Thanks, everybody, for checking in. I know that we've got some fresh voicemails in our inbox as well. Jordan and I will hopefully get to those either tomorrow or Friday to lead you into the weekend, plus some of the latest updates from Bulls training camp. Thanks again to our sponsor for today's show and Built Bar. Don't forget that 20% off discount with promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Keep those texts, voicemails, and emails coming. LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And that number, 331-979-1369. Bulls preseason, Friday night. Let's go. Talk to you soon.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com